Today's Bible passage is Luke chapter 19, verses 17 through 27. While they were listening to this, he went on to tell them a parable, because he was near Jerusalem and the people thought that the kingdom of God was going to appear at once. He said, "A man of noble birth went to a distant country to have himself appointed king, and then to return. So he called 10 of his servants and gave them 10 minas. 'Put this money to work,' he said, 'until I come back.' But his subjects hated him and sent a delegation after him to say, 'We don't want this man to be our king.' He was made king, however, and returned home. Then he sent for the servants to whom he had given the money in order to find out what they had gained with it. The first one came and said, 'Sir, your mina has earned 10 more.' 'Well done, my good servant,' his master replied. 'Because you have been trustworthy in a very small matter, take charge of 10 cities.' The second came and said, 'Sir, your mina has earned 5 more.' His master answered, 'You take charge of 5 cities.' Then another servant came and said, 'Sir, here is your mina. I have kept it laid away in a piece of cloth. I was afraid of you because you are a hard man. You take out what you did not put in and reap what you did not sow.' His master replied, 'I will judge you by your own words, you wicked servant. You knew, did you, that I am a hard man, taking out what I did not put in and reaping what I did not sow? Why then didn't you put my money on deposit so that when I came back I could have collected it with interest?' Then he said to those standing by, 'Take his mina away from him and give it to the one who has 10 minas.' 'Sir,' they said, 'he already has 10. He replied, "I tell you that everyone who has more will be given. But as for the one who has nothing, even what he has will be taken away. But those enemies of mine who did not want me to be king over them, bring them here and kill them in front of me.'" About 20 years ago, when I was serving at my previous church, the church hosted a training event for small groups. Each group got 200,000 won. And they were told to manage the money for 6 months from May through October and return the money and profits along with testimonies. The event was held so that the members of the church would be provided an opportunity to be a steward before God. In the parable of the talents in Matthew chapter 25, the master hands his servants 5, 2, and 1 talent each according to their abilities. But in the parable of the minas in today's passage, the master gives 1 mina each to all of his servants. So the event we held at church called talent training should actually have been called minor training, because all of the small groups got 200,000 won each. At the end of the year, after 6 months passed, 2 members of the church delivered testimonies during Sunday service. They each belonged to the group that made the most profit and the least. The first member was the wife of a group leader. Her husband, returning from group Bible study, held up a 200,000 won check and asked, "What should we do to make profit from this money?" The wife responded that they try selling pleated skirts. The wife had not professionally learned to make clothing, but it had been her hobby, and it was something that she could do well. So after discussing with group members, The group's female members made the skirts, and the male members decided to sell the skirts at the market. First, the group purchased a second-hand sewing machine at 150,000 won to make the skirts look like products sold. And they bought fabric from a store at the market with 15,000 won. They decided to sell the skirts at 30,000 won. The wife of the group leader first made a sample and wore it around. Then people started ordering the skirts. The male members began managing the orders for the skirts. From May to July, they made and sold 150 skirts, making 2.25 million won in profit. Other members of the group helped out, but they decided it would be better to come up with another item. So they sold t-shirts at each of their apartment buildings and made 270,000 won. So by July, they had made a total of 2.52 million won in profit. They decided to take a break in the following month of August due to the summer heat. But as they took a break, the members had conflicting thoughts. They thought they had done enough, but at the same time, they thought they should do more. After summer passed and fall came, they decided to try and make 3 million won in profit and received orders for long-sleeve blouses and pleated skirts. In total, they made 2.8 million won in profit. And adding up the 200,000 won they received, the total came to 3 million won. So this group was the group that made the most profit. The member that delivered the testimony said God had sent her to markets beforehand to be able to take on the training. And she said it was a blessing to be able to purchase fabric for each of the people who made orders, make clothes for them, and pray for them. The member said when the training was over, God had provided two types of bonuses. One was God healing her husband's illness. Her husband had developed a vocal cord nodule, the previous year, and had a surgery to remove it in March. The husband was an anchor man at a broadcaster. He and his family had been deeply worried because the illness could affect his job. Their house in the meantime was a mess because they had begun working on making clothes. The group leader visited the hospital for a resurgery, but the date kept being postponed. But one day, after all of the work was done, he got a checkup at the hospital and found that the nodule had disappeared. The other bonus was that the wife of the group leader was able to start working. She had a decades-old license as a school nurse, and she began working at a high school. She was not able to read the Bible much when she was making clothes, but at the high school, she began reading the Bible at the infirmary and was able to complete reading the Bible by the end of the year. She said the Lord told her to be loyal and that she regretted taking a break during summer. And she closed her testimony by saying, "I think God will ask how faithfully we carried out our work, not how much we were able to get. I resolved to make efforts so that I can hear God telling me, 'Good and faithful servant, you did well,' when I stand before Him after living a faithful life." The second member of the church delivering a testimony was a group leader. He said he thought he would be a bad and lazy servant rather than a good and faithful servant the moment he received the envelope for the training. The member said he thought it would be okay for him to be a bad and lazy servant in this particular training because he had done well so far. It was a sense of pride. The member had served as leader of various posts of service within the church, such as usher, Sunday school teacher, and Bible study group. His group had always ranked among the top in the church's year-end award giving, so he thought the talent training would not matter so much. So the envelope went into his bag, and 6 months passed. Every time the members of his group asked about what they were going to do with the money, the leader said, "Let's just focus on Bible study." Six months passed, and the time came for the groups to hand in their profit. This member went to a pastor of the church to give back his envelope. At the time, the pastor was speaking to another member of the church. The group leader decided not to wait, and he decided to give the envelope the following week. He went to his group Bible study, which took place on Sunday afternoon. And the next week, he searched for the envelope in his bag, but he couldn't find it. And so the group member reluctantly paid back the money from his salary. God had taken the money he had entrusted him, like it was recorded in the Bible. For the first few days, the group leader thought about the loss he had sustained. But then he began developing fear. I just thought of the parable of the talent as a story, but it actually happened to me. His fear developed into panic. Doesn't this mean all of God's promises, warnings, and parables in the Bible could happen to me as well? Then it means God could take away not only one talent, but all the talents of mine. What would happen if God took my title at work, my house, and my family members? He got caught up in these thoughts and became afraid to look at the Bible, let alone read it. This was because of the thought that he was still living in sin. Then one day he began having thoughts that seemed to shine some light of hope. The fact that God took the talent from me means that God is clearly living and working, and that this happened to me means that God knows me, presides with me, and works in me. Then this would mean God does not only take away. If I make good use of the other talents I have been provided, he could give more. Or he could give me new talents. It was God's great blessing to have me realize that God is presiding with me by taking away one talent given to me. I After these thoughts occurred, the group leader was not afraid anymore, and he resolved not to let God take away his talent. He lived with certainty that when he lived faithfully, God would provide him with more talents. So he said, the more he thinks about this, the more he gives thanks to God's grace. And both of these members of the church are still living faithfully as Christians. The testimonies of these two members deliver the meaning of today's passage. The backdrop of the story of today's passage is a historical event that took place 30 years prior to the time. Herod the Great, who ruled over all of Israel at the time Jesus was born, passed away shortly. When he died, he divided Israel into three regions and made his son Herod Philip rule over the northern region, Herod Antipas rule over Galilee, and Herod Archelaus rule over the southern region. But Israel at the time was under the rule of the Roman Empire. So in order for the three sons to become official kings of the regions, they had to receive approval from the Roman Emperor. So Herod Archelaus assigned his servants with work and left for Rome. This is the backdrop of today's passage. Let's look at verses 12 to 13. He said, a man of noble birth went to a distant country to have himself appointed king, and then to return. So he called 10 of his servants and gave them 10 minas. Put this money to work, he said, until I come back. A man of noble birth refers to a person who is born to a household of high social class. This noble man went to a distant country and returned to be appointed king. But for his servants, the period was a period of testing of whether they were faithful to their master. People who heard this parable at the time would have thought the noble man was Archelaus, but the reason Jesus told this parable was not to speak about Archelaus, but to teach about his resurrection, ascension, and his second coming. From this perspective, the minas in the parable are our jobs of this moment, the responsibility we should take. From this perspective, the minas in the parable are our job. So the minas are the work we do or the studies we have undertaken. It could also be taking care of family or assuming other roles. What we need to think about here is that all the servants received one mina each. This means that as Christians, we all have the same responsibility to be faithful before God, regardless of gender, age, wealth, or nobility. Matthew chapter 25 tells of the parable of talents. In this parable, the servants received different amounts of talents according to their abilities. This means that the work that Christians are assigned are different according to their abilities. For example, even if some people graduated from the same university and joined a company on the same day, it does not mean that they have the same capabilities. Among them, there will be a person whose abilities are acknowledged and hence sees quick promotions, and there will also be a person who lags behind. This would be based on their differing abilities. But whatever position they may be in, they are required to be loyal to their company. So the parable of miners in Luke takes the perspective of loyalty, while the parable of talents in the book of Matthew takes a perspective of capability. So there is no fundamental difference between the two. Let us say two people are called to become pastors. One served as a pastor in training, and the other as a full-time pastor at the same church. The two, at a similar time point, were invited to other churches to serve as senior pastor. Both of the churches they were called to were of similar size, but the church of one pastor continued to grow and after a decade grew from 100 to 500 members. The other pastor worked hard, but the members of his church did not grow as quickly. After 10 years, members grew from 100 to 200. The two people were handed the same amount of minas. It was one mina, which was ministering. But one person had 5 units of talent and the other 2. What is important is that God requires the same level of loyalty from the pastor regardless of the size of his church. Similarly, whatever work Christians are assigned to do, God requires the same level of loyalty from them. The nobleman returned and checked what the servants did with the minas. The 10 servants who received the minas could be categorized into 3 types of people. Verses 16 to 17 tell of the answers of the first type and how the master responded. The first one came and said, "Sir, your mina has earned 10 more." "Well done, my good servant," his master replied, "because you have been trustworthy in a very small matter. Take charge of 10 cities." The master assigned the servant who earned 10 more with a mina with the responsibility to rule over 10 cities. The master called for a greater commitment than before. The greatest reward would be to serve more. At work, the best reward would be greater pay and promotions. Continued promotions and pay raises would provide a person meaning to be with the company. If I work for a certain company and successfully completed a major project, and the CEO called me and said, "You did a good job. As a reward, I will give to you 2 years' worth of pay. Do not come to work and stay at home." Would I be able to say thank you and be happy? This would not be a reward, but a punishment. It is a blessing that God gives us a position to serve. This is because we are blessed through the service. Sometimes we do need to take a break, but the break should serve as a stepping stone for better service. Verses 18 to 19 tell of the answer of the second type of servant and the master's response. The second came and said, "Sir, your mina has earned 5 more." His master answered, "You take charge of 5 cities." The second type of servant earned 5 more with the entrusted mina. The master put the servant in charge of 5 cities. The master did not say, "Why did you only make 5 minas?" Why did you not make 10 minas like that servant? This is because he knew this was the servant's best ability. The master called the 10 servants and handed them 1 mina each, telling them to make money. And when he came back, he called his servants to see what they did with the money. In Korean, doing business means to buy and sell goods for a profit. Based on this definition, it would appear that the master gave his servants 1 mina each and told them to make more minas through whatever ends it took. But this is not what doing business means. Kenneth Bailey is an American scholar of the New Testament. He lived over 40 years in the Middle Eastern countries of Israel, Lebanon, and Cyprus as a scholar of the New Testament. He authored a book titled Jesus Through Middle Eastern Eyes. The book refers to the parable of the 10 minas. The words, put money to work, of the master not only appears in the New Testament in today's passage. Bailey says it does not focus on how much one earned, but how many transactions were made. If the master wanted to know how much his servants earned, he would have told them to show him the money they earned. If the master asked how many transactions they made, it would be to find out how loyal the servants were to their master at a time he was not present. The first servant says, "Your mina has earned 10 more." The term used in the original text means laboring or making effort. So this indicates the focus is not on earning 10 minas, but being faithful to the duty the master entrusted. The second servant also says, "Your mina has earned you 5 more." The term used in the original text also puts the focus not on the 5 minas earned, but on the work the servant did to faithfully carry out his entrusted duty. But the third servant showed a different response. What was wrong of him was not keeping the mina in a cloth and bringing it back, but not being faithful to duty entrusted by the master. We will look at this part next week. After the master came back, he checked what his servants had done and gave them rewards and punishments accordingly. But we need to remember part of what the master said. Let me read verse 17. "Well done, my servant," his master replied. "Because you have been trustworthy in a very small matter, take charge of 10 cities. The master said, to the servant, "You have been trustworthy in a very small matter." Our lives are mostly comprised of matters that appear small. Most of the small matters are repetitive. But when we add up all of the small matters, this becomes the lives we have lived so far. People are interested in great matters. And they think and say if they are entrusted with such great matters, they would do their best. But this is a lie. The reason people like great affairs and work is, and work that is noticeable is because they want to be acknowledged by others. But the acknowledgement and encouragement of others does not last. God's acknowledgement and encouragement, on the other hand, lasts and makes us complete and will provide us with eternal rewards. Today we mark the third week of Advent. We are waiting for a baby Jesus who came to this world to give us eternal life. Like the 10 servants who received minas from their masters, awaited the return of their master, we who have been entrusted minas are also waiting for Jesus' coming. The Lord we are waiting for is watching over whether we're being faithful to the smallest matters. The group Bible study covered 2 Samuel this year. David, after the Bathsheba incident, walked the deepest of his life's valleys. If there was a time David passed the valleys of his life and faith, 2 Samuel verse 7, when he wanted to build a temple for God, would have been when his life and faith reached mountain peaks. For a long time, David ran from King Saul. He then became king over Judah at Hebron. And after 7 years and 6 months, he became king who ruled over the whole of Israel. It suddenly occurred to David, who lived in a palace made of cedar, that the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord remained under curtains. So he told the prophet Nathan that he wished to build a temple, to which the prophet said this was a good idea. But God did not allow the temple to be built during David's time, and said this would be done by his son. And he told the prophet Nathan to tell this to David. Let's look at 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 8 to 9. Now then, tell my servant David, this is what the Lord Almighty says. I took you from the pasture and from following the flock to be ruler over my people Israel. I have been with you wherever you have gone, and I have cut off all your enemies from before you. Now I will make our name great, like the names of the greatest men of the earth. God did not designate David as the ruler over Israel when he defeated Goliath. Neither was it when David became a general for King Saul and made achievements in defeating enemies. It was when David was following flocks of sheep at pastures. God promised to make David the ruler of Israel and to make his name great when David was looking after sheep. When David looked after sheep, nobody paid attention to him. At the time, a shepherd was among the lowliest jobs. A boy looking after sheep was probably considered even lowlier. When the prophet Samuel was ordered by God to anoint the person who would become king after King Saul and visited Jesse's house, Jesse called only 7 of his 8 sons and left out his youngest, David. He thought, if a king were to come out of my 8 sons, it would be among his first 7 sons, but definitely not his last. But God was zooming into Jesse's youngest son, David. I earlier delivered the testimonies of 2 members of my former church. Are you aware that the God who guided the 2 members is our God? Do you believe the God that paid attention to David being faithful to small matters when he was a shepherd is the same God who looks over whether we are faithful in our daily lives? Do you believe that the Lord who made David's name great is the same Lord who makes our names great? Marking the 3rd week of Advent, do you believe that Jesus Christ is God who came to this world to be with us? Then we should learn to be faithful to the small matters before the Lord, our strength. Let us, blessed by the Lord who presides with us, resolve to do our best to give back what the Lord will be happy to receive, regardless of what minus he has entrusted us with. Then the Lord will embrace us and tell us, "Well done, my good servant. Because you have been trustworthy in a very small matter, take charge of 10 cities." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, who watches over the smallest matters taking place in our daily lives, when David was a shepherd, nobody paid attention to him. This was the case for even his father Jesse. But God watched over David and made new history for Israel through him. We thank you that this God is the God we believe. Even if we are regarded small and weak, and it appears we are doing unimportant work, let us remember that we or the work are not insignificant. Let us accept that God works through all of these small matters. Father God, when we are given the choice of hoping for God's acknowledgement and encouragement, and hoping for applause and acknowledgement from people, we always opt for the latter. We wish for your acknowledgement and encouragement, but our sinful nature leads us to choose applause and acknowledgement from people. Lord, give us the ability to discern what is right and allow us the faith to opt for what is eternal. Marking the 3rd week of Advent, we remember that God knows about our lives, and that there will be a time when we will be assessed before God on how we lived. Let us not spend our lives on what will eventually disappear or lose meaning, but let us spend our lives on what is eternal. Let us not only speak, but live lives as people who believe and hope in the Lord our strength. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.